gospel, we find ourselves in Jerusalem in the year 33 AD during the week-long Jewish feast of Passover. All the tribes of Israel were required to come, and even some Greek-speaking converts were gathered to commemorate their deliverance from slavery in Egypt nearly 1,000 years earlier. During the Feast of Passover, Jerusalem was wall-to-wall people from all over the known world. We know from our gospel reading that Jesus was one of the primary topics of conversation that week. Even the Greeks were asking to speak with Christ. Could this be the Messiah? His reputation preceded him. Miracles like changing water into wine, feeding 5,000, countless healings. Our Lord had just raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days in the tomb. Just one day earlier, the people had given Jesus a kingly procession into Jerusalem on the back of a colt while laying palm branches down in the road in front of him. They were shouting, "Hosanna," which means "He who comes in the name of the Lord." In the eyes of the world, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, the miracle worker, and the one who self-proclaimed Son of God, was certainly at the height of his popularity. He was certainly at the pinnacle of his earthly life. Jesus even tells the people today, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." This must have been music to the ears of the Jewish people. They had suffered for hundreds and hundreds of years under the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and now the Romans. Finally, their long-awaited Messiah had come to deliver them from the oppression of Roman rule. Imagine their confusion and disappointment when Jesus says that he must die and be buried in order to be glorified. Not only that, he tells his disciples they must reject this world and follow in his footsteps, giving up their own lives in the process. Not exactly what they expected to hear. Just like the Jews of Jesus' time, many Christians today are disillusioned by thinking they can share in the glory of Christ without first sharing in his humiliating death on the cross. Jesus makes it perfectly clear today that this is not possible. "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." Jesus is that grain of wheat that fell onto the ground, died, and produced much fruit. That fruit is the life of God in our very souls, called sanctifying grace. Jesus tells each and every one of us to follow in his footsteps by carrying our crosses. Not for the sake of carrying a cross, but rather out of love for him and love for one another. Like Christ, we must carry our crosses willingly, selflessly, and persistently, daily. He calls us to live out the self-sacrificing love that most perfectly demonstrates through his passion, death, and resurrection. Jesus then goes on to explain to his disciples, "Whoever loves his life on this earth loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life." This was certainly not a crowd pleaser then or now. These words are probably still one of the most offensive messages to our modern ears. It was radical in the first century. It's radical today. Our modern culture tries to convince us that there is such a thing as comfortable Christianity, where we can live our lives on our own terms, picking and choosing which of his church's teachings we will follow and which ones we can ignore. But this is a lie from the devil. This is not the life that Christ lived. This is not the life of the saints. Jesus is telling us that we are like the grain of wheat. We must first die unto ourselves in order to bear fruit in the kingdom of God. We must put aside our selfishness, our pride, our plans for our own lives, and seek only God's will in our lives. Like Jesus, like Mary, like Joseph, like all the saints, we must become obedient to the will of God our Father. To do this, our eternal spiritual life must take priority over our life in this world. If we do not love our spiritual lives above our material lives, we will lose eternity in heaven, plain and simple. Jesus is not telling us that life on earth is not worth living. He is also not telling us that life is not worth enjoying. We are not to despise the goodness that God has given us, but we are expected to use all of our God-given gifts, our entire lives, to help build the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Jesus tells his disciples that if we are looking for him, if we really want to serve him, we must follow him to our deaths. This Lent, we must encounter not an earthly Messiah, but rather a suffering servant. Life in this fallen world is full of suffering, full of crosses that we, like Jesus, must bear. Our crosses can come in the form of financial hardship, social rejection, physical illness, addiction, broken relationships, to name just a few. We have all experienced sufferings in more than one way, shape, or form here on earth. This Lent, we are called to recognize our sufferings as opportunities to unite ourselves with Christ on the cross. The cross that Jesus carries is not of his own making. He never sinned. He never performed an evil act. The cross Jesus carries is in reality our cross. The sin that he atones for is our sin. Yet he bears this cross with selfless love for our sake. As baptized brothers and sisters in Christ, we are assured that we are never carrying our crosses alone. In the midst of life's suffering, Jesus is always right there with us. He always wants to help us. We have also been given the gifts of the Holy Spirit and Holy Mother Church to help us to bear our sufferings as Christ did. Our sufferings become unbearable only when we forget to turn to Christ for the grace to endure. Today's second reading teaches us that all grace comes from Christ on the cross. The cross is the source of sanctifying grace. St. Paul tells us Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered, and when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Jesus was foretelling the salvation through grace each and every faithful disciple will receive at our glorification. But we must first follow in his footsteps to the cross. Only after his crucifixion was Jesus glorified in his resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven. Jesus makes it clear today that sanctifying grace flows to us from his suffering on Calvary. This grace lifts us up and gives us the strength to endure our sufferings in unity with Christ, who is always at our side. It is only through the cross that we will be lifted up in glorification on the last day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.